We'll try that again. How about good evening?
Good evening.
That's much more gooder. Fantastic opportunity tonight to celebrate God's work of resurrection, spiritual resurrection, in 13 different people's lives. Some of them are related. In fact, the first two are related to me. Some of them are related to one another, and we are all related in Jesus Christ. At Trinity Evangel, one of the things that we believe is that baptism is not a proof of salvation. Baptism is a proclamation of salvation. There are a few things that a person needs to be able to understand and explain for sake of participating in believers' baptism. We want to know that they believe, and there are some specific things, namely the gospel, that they need to believe. But according to the Great Commission, when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples," baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit comes first. And then continuing the discipleship process of teaching them to observe everything that Jesus has commanded. So we don't see baptism as the final hoop to jump through or a bunch of other hoops along the way that they need to jump through in order to say, yeah, they proved that they're a Christian. Now we want to baptize them. This is more so they believe, they profess faith, then we want to baptize them and help disciple them until they are following Christ in everything that he commanded, just like Jesus instructed us to do. Like I said, there are 13 different people who will be baptized tonight. We're going to start, and then we're going to just keep on going until the last one is done. And I think that's all the introductory things I want to say. The first person, first young man who comes to be baptized is Calvin Higgins. Okay, so Calvin, I'm going to ask him some questions, and he's going to do his testimony that way. We have some written out thoughts, but he does much better just looking at everybody and answering. So, Calvin, what does it mean to be a Christian?
You believe in God and you believe in God.
Okay, yeah. What specifically do you believe about God? There are some things about God that we believe.
That he died on the cross for our sin and he rose again on the third day.
That's right. He died on the cross for our sins and he rose again on the third day. Now, for our sins, what's that all about? What's sin?
Disobedience and not loving God.
Disobedience and not loving God. What's the penalty for disobedience and not loving God?
Death.
Death. So how does that connect with what Jesus did? He did that for us.
Yeah.
Right? That's the part why he said he died on the cross for our sins. So, are you a sinner?
Yeah, everyone's a sinner.
Everyone's a sinner. Can you tell us a little bit about your sin when you were younger, kind of your testimony?
Yeah, I used to disobey a lot, and I used to try to kill a lot of people, but not like the kind with the gun, the kind like with your muscles and your fists, like punching.
Yeah, I mean, I like to tell the story that on Calvin's birth announcement, his mother and I thought it would be great to put, "May he shake the gates of hell." And we meant from the outside, not the inside. But for the first few years, at least, of Calvin's life, when he says he tried to kill people, had he have had the same anger at 18, he would have been killing people. So definitely that was one of his sins. I don't know where he got that from, but one of his sins of anger. And so then what happened?
And then I think when I was leading people out of sin ditches, that's when Jesus started shaping me in a better way.
Yeah, we're not really sure when. Like, there wasn't one particular night when you prayed a prayer. But There was really obvious change between when you were wanting to kill people, which is a very obvious sin, and what you said was when you're trying to help other people out of sin ditches. That's a way we talk about it at our house, that we have responsibility to not just obey ourselves, but to help others to obey. So you actually see, not in a mean way, but you see and want to help your siblings or other people that you're with, your friends, out of sin ditches, and Jesus is shaping you into a different young man. So you came to be baptized tonight. What is baptism? What does that mean?
That you die with Jesus and then you get raised up with Jesus.
Okay. Does baptism save you?
No.
No. Faith saves you, but this demonstrates that you are identifying with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. Okay?
Okay.
Why do you want to be baptized?
Because the whole church, most of the whole church has been baptized, and I want to be a part of the church.
You want to be a part of the church. Obey Jesus and be a part of all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Calvin, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Seventh-day Adventist Church totally filled our baptismal pool last night for us, thinking that it was for this morning, but it's not actually a heated pool. So they filled it with hot water, but it's not so hot anymore, in case you see some of those looks on their faces when they come down. Okay?
Hi, my name is Maggie, and when I was at Providence Classical Christian School, I would lie often about things I did at school, and Mama would ask what I was hiding as soon as I was in the door at home. I thought I was a Christian when I was younger, but I think I really became a Christian one night at dinner after hiding that I didn't like having avocado on my panini. Our family had a talk about what it means to be a Christian, and then I prayed and asked God if he would accept me. A Christian is someone who believes that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and then rose again. A Christian is also someone who reads and obeys the Bible. Because I believe Jesus and want to obey him, now my afternoons are much more pleasant. And my parents trust me because I do not lie as much. God is helping me to become more trustworthy. I want to get baptized because, first, I believe I am a Christian. Second, because the Bible tells us to get baptized. And third, I want to identify with Jesus publicly. I think baptism shows that you die with Jesus and rise with Jesus. My favorite verse is Proverbs 31:10. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. This is my favorite verse because I want to grow up and be a woman like that.
So Maggie, what was, other than the talking in front of other people, what was the biggest fear that you had about being baptized?
Telling people that I lie a lot.
Okay. So it is a way that some of us sin, that we really want to try to convince other people that we're not. That we really want to, or think we can, put on a show and make them think something of us, in particular think that we're righteous when we're not. And obviously that comes out in lying. You have to lie if you know you're not a sinner. And you don't want other people to know that you're a sinner. You have to lie. The avocado panini incident, while it will certainly go down as a story we tell for the rest of our lives, also demonstrates that a conversation can be had about the forgiveness we have in Jesus at any time. It really was as simple as she purposefully took the avocado out of her panini, and when we asked her about it, she said, "I don't know, it just squeezed out."
And now Calvin says, well, we have paninis, it just squeezed out.
But that led into another conversation about what lying does to us and where forgiveness for lying can be found. And it was, I don't think I realized it that night, but that obviously was a very important night for Maggie as we talked about her relationship with Jesus Christ. That was a few years ago. No, that was last year. So, Maggie, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, I'm Cheyenne, and when I realized I was a sinner, it was when I was 8 years old, when I threw a fit about schoolwork, and after my fit, my mom disciplined me and then was talking to me about how anyone could be saved because I didn't think little kids could be saved. And I didn't think that little kids could be saved because I never saw little kids taking communion, so I thought only adults could be saved. What made me place my faith in him was being at the Martin's house for so long and the influence the girls were to me. And Jesus is the only one who did and could die for my sins. My life being a Christian has changed because I was mean to the Martins and my mother, and now I realize when I sin. I want to be baptized so I can publicly confess my faith to my family and friends. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." And I like this passage because it helps me when I get angry. Trust me, I still get angry. And Psalm 38:3 says, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin." And this is also a passage I like because it describes our sin in our bones.
It's actually very providential and exciting that the Martins got to be here tonight. So that's great. It is one of the confusing things about only baptizing people who are significantly older is that it can, and even in Cheyenne's case, when it comes to communion, brought the confusion about you can only be saved when you're such and such age, when you're so old. And again, while we understand that we want to make sure there is enough understanding about the gospel, it's not about a certain age. And perhaps this enables younger people to not have those horrific kind of testimonies as they grow up learning how to follow Christ from a young age. So you talked about it a little bit in terms of Jesus and him dying and what's significant about that. But if you were to tell people out there, if you were to tell young people who didn't think they could be saved, how would you tell them to be saved? What do they need to know?
To know that Jesus Christ died for our sins.
He died for our sins. And could you define, what if they said, "I'm not a sinner"? How would you tell them what sin is? There's a book that tells us what God wants and what is not acceptable to him. I teach a class called it at the school you go to. Where would they learn what sin is?
In the Bible.
In the Bible, yeah. And so Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's great. And that's what saves us. Does baptism also save you?
No.
Okay, so what does baptism do?
Baptism confesses your faith publicly.
Okay, yeah. It tells all of these people, it makes that public profession that you are with Jesus and you have repented from your sin. You're trusting him for your salvation. So it has been exciting to have Cheyenne in class and to see her growth even over the first three quarters that we've had. And because of that and your profession of faith, I'm excited to baptize you.
Either way.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Abigail Vanderbrecken, and I would like to be baptized. Before I committed my life to Christ, I thought that everything was just fine. I went to church and had a great family and did what I was supposed to most of the time. I thought that I was a good person and was pretty well off in the way I acted. On the outside, you would have thought that everything was fine. The thing is, deep down, I thought that I was better than most everyone else my age and that I could do everything on my own. In my heart, I was angry when things did not go my way and when others knew I had messed up. I also struggled with wanting to hide my sin. Jesus Christ is God's Son, whose love for us is greater than we can imagine. He came to die for our sins as the perfect sacrifice. My parents would tell me I needed a Savior, and I saw that when I realized my sin and selfishness and pride, I knew I could not be cleansed of all my sin without repenting and giving my life to Christ. When I was about 7 years old, I prayed and repented on my own behind the couch. I believe that was the beginning of my new life as a believer. Since then, I have been learning and growing. At home, we talk a lot about what it means to be a follower of Christ. My dad and I often talk about what areas I need to grow in, and both my parents encourage me. I still struggle with sin, but I know that I am forgiven and that I am growing and being more like Christ. I am choosing to be baptized because in God's word it says, repent and be baptized. I want to obey God and follow Jesus' example and turn from my sin. I want to fight my selfishness and pride. These are some of my favorite verses. James 1, 2, and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you knew that the testing of your faith provides steadfastness. I find this verse encouraging because I know trials that God puts me through will make me a better Christian. Exodus 15:11. Who is like you, O God, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? I like this verse because it is very true and glorifies God. He is majestic, holy, and awesome, and I am very glad I get to serve him.
That's great. Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened before the couch?
We talked about it a lot, and for a while I didn't think I was that ready. But the same day that I did that, I asked Mom if I could do it all by myself. So then before we went down to the basement to do schoolwork, I went behind the couch.
That's great. So it doesn't take anything official. It can happen dinner tables and behind couches with others and by yourself if you know what you need to do. So what happened when you went behind the couch? And I'm asking that for sake of other people who maybe they're having the same kind of issues. Maybe they think that they're better than everybody else and they're having trouble continuing to hide that.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously your mom and dad were telling you you needed salvation. So what would you tell those people who are perhaps having the same struggle? What do they need to do if they went behind their couch?
Well, I pretty much said that I wanted to give my life to Christ. And I did.
Okay. And you mentioned in the written part of your testimony that the thing that keeps us from Christ is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that? What is sin?
Sin is when you disobey or when you do something that is not right.
Okay. According to who?
God.
Yeah.
Or the Bible.
And God always judges sin. How does he judge sin in a final way?
With death.
With death. So that's why Jesus is the only one who can die for our sins, which is what, again, you said in your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great having you in class and watching your joy and your excitement for obedience and good things.
Mm-hmm.
And based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Kaylin Hall, and I have been going to Trinity for over 2 years with my parents, and I am going to share my testimony with you. So one night after life to life group, I was thinking that if I died, I would go to hell. When we got home, I talked to my parents about it, and that helped me realize my need for salvation. I was concerned about going to hell because I did not want to go there. After our talk, I prayed to God. I became a Christian by repenting of my sins and putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is God and Savior. My life is different as a Christian because I enjoy reading my Bible and I enjoy going to church. I want to obey God with my life, and when I don't obey Him, I confess. I am choosing to be baptized so that you will know that I am a Christian. Some of my favorite verses are John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Proverbs 20:11, "Even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright." And my final verse is Psalm 34:14. "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it."
So you're the first one who has mentioned the judgment of hell in your testimony so far. And do you remember anything else about that conversation with your parents? Do you remember why that conversation came up?
It came up because I wanted to die and go to heaven with my parents, and I didn't want to die and go to hell.
Okay. Yeah, so as somebody who reads the Bible, we believe that not only does someone face physical death as a judgment for their sin, but that God also punishes them eternally. That's eternal death in an actual location called hell. And there's only one way out of there. Now, you already said it, but I'm going to ask you again. So somebody out there doesn't want to go to hell. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that in order not to go to hell, that they would need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and believe in Him.
Okay. And why is putting their faith in Jesus so significant? What did He do?
Because He died on the cross for our sins.
Okay. Good. Now, one of the things you mentioned as well is that now as a Christian, you do want to obey God. You want to worship with God's people. But there are still some times when you sin. So it's possible for Christians to sin? Is that possible for that even Christians sin?
Yes.
I hope so. Otherwise, we're in big trouble because all of us continue to do that. And so you said, but even as Christians now, we don't fear hell when we sin, but we do need to do something. So what do we need to do even as Christians when we sin?
We need to repent and ask God for our forgiveness.
Yeah.
For disobeying Him.
Yeah. So like a father disciplines his children, he still forgives us as his children when we sin, but that's really important. So we get to do that every week when we have a time of confession, and hopefully we do that every time we sin. So also getting to have you. You're the last one of the fifth grade girls getting baptized, right? There's only four of you in that class, so it's been fun having you in class as well. And I am excited to baptize you based on your profession. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Amanda. I don't have a dramatic testimony in terms of a destructive life that was rescued. What I do have, though, is a story of a child who was saved early on and has been learning to follow Christ since 3 years old. I remember when my grandma died, I was very young. She was the first person close to me that had died. I had a lot of questions. What happened? Where'd she go? My mom told me about Jesus, the gospel, where Grandma had gone, and my need for a savior. Although I was young, my heart was being saved. I realized I wanted what Grandma had. From then on, I learned about who Jesus was and why He came to earth, to pay for my sins and to save me for Himself. Since then, I've been learning how to reflect His image and live in a way that pleases Him. For example, my nature is to be fearful of others and angry. As I've grown, I've learned to fear others less and understand my worth by what God thinks of me. This has been a huge struggle in my life, but I see God's work very clearly. People's opinions would greatly affect me and how I would deal with things. I've also seen God's work in my heart as He's taught me not to be an angry person. If I think of what I could have been without His work, it's kind of scary. My nature gravitates toward anger. With His work, I'm overcoming that. When I think of where I am today, I'm humbled and grateful for His work in my life. As I am continuing to see His work in my heart, I've chosen to be baptized to show the image of my death and resurrection in Him and signify my life as a Christian. I've pursued baptism a few times, but each time it's never worked out, usually because of someone would judge my heart and make a comment that would hurt me. This would bring up my fear of man. Today I'm choosing to put aside my fear, and I'm excited to do this before my church family and have you all witness this part of my life. A couple scripture passages that have impacted me are Romans 5 and Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, which says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
Any particular things that you would encourage some of the younger people who have grown up in Christian homes who don't have those, did you say destructive sort of testimonies?
Yeah.
Who don't have those destructive sort of testimonies, but perhaps are having the same kind of fear of man. So that's something that you have been working through. Would you give any encouragement to them about how to deal with that?
I don't really know. I don't know exactly how I've figured it out. I mean, I'm still figuring it out. You can't do it on your own. Only by God's grace am I here now, able to do this. I mean, I'm still terrified. But I don't know. I think just a lot of prayer and a lot of trust in God.
Okay. And if, when you were younger, if people would have been encouraging, do you suppose that you probably would have been baptized earlier if you
yes.
wouldn't have received those?
Yes.
Because you pursued it.
Yes.
But there were different
yes.
obstacles, hindrances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you had some fantastic descriptions in there, but one of the things you said now about your life, you know you're a Christian because you're pursuing being a better image bearer. Maybe not everybody knows what that means. Could you describe that a little bit?
Being an image bearer?
Yeah.
I'd say living, really just living like the Bible says you have to live.
Okay.
Trusting God, having grace, patience, love, crazy amounts of love, even when it's hard.
And that, so the person whose image you're bearing at that point is God's.
Correct.
So He told us about Himself in the Bible. And of course, He's the one who laid down His life because He loved us. So you want to be baptized. Obviously, baptism doesn't save you because
right.
you got saved a long time ago.
Yeah.
The importance of that now and making this a done deal is what? Like, why? So you went so long
yes.
without doing it. What are you excited about now?
I'm totally excited that I'm fulfilling a commandment that He's given to me.
Okay.
Like, I know oftentimes I would struggle, like, oh, what's going to happen? I'm not doing this. Oh, but I'm really excited that I'm actually doing it. And I'm putting aside my fear of man and people's opinions and doing what God has called me to do.
I mean, that's encouraging to me. I'm assuming that's encouraging to lots of people. But to be bold to obey, to have that blessing of obedience in light of the particular fears that you have that come along with it. So
yeah.
That's actually really encouraging. So thanks for your obedience.
Hey, you're welcome.
And based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
It's as cold as they say it is. So I'm Grant Seidenberg, Amanda's husband. So we've been going here for probably about a year and a half. But like a lot of people in the church, I grew up in a Christian family. So my parents were conservative Presbyterians and began teaching me about God and sin and Christianity when I was really little, probably before I could talk. And though I don't remember the early stages of my life, I know my parents have told me stories of how stubborn I was as a kid. And now having a son of my own that I'm told is a lot like me, I'm seeing what they had to deal with. So when I was three, though, my mom had been talking to me and I expressed a desire to become a Christian. And so I remember, barely remember us praying on the couch and asking Jesus to save me. And from that time on, I knew that I was sinful, that I needed a Savior, Jesus, who I believed on for forgiveness and eternal life. For as long as I can remember, I believed God was real. I believed in Jesus as the Son of God, the one who died for my sins. But I struggled kind of reconciling basically the way I saw the Christian life portrayed by my parents and some of the people that had run in the same circles. And kind of trying to figure out what that was, I think looking back at their effort to do what the Bible says with their conservative bent, they presented a gospel that was a little bit confusing to me. So I grew up basically wanting to obey God, but also struggling with understanding why Christianity seemed like a bunch of rules, so a bunch of do's and don'ts. And really what that got back to for me, or the question that I'd ask myself was, why does a gracious, free gift of God feel like a burden? So why does Jesus say that his yoke was easy, his burden is light? And why does it seem like there's so many things not to do? And that's what Christianity sometimes seems like. So up through my late high school years, God slowly worked in my life and taught me to basically be more like him, but I would say my growth in life application of theological concepts was slower than I'd like. When I was probably about 17 or 18, my parents left the church we'd attended for pretty much my whole life, and we moved to a new church plant in Woodinville, which is a Presbyterian church. The pastor they had spent some of the first year really talking about the gospel and exploring the implications of it. He talked about how Christ is our propitiation, the wrath quencher for our sins, and that we now obey the commands of Christ out of love and gratitude, not because we needed to for our justification or for him to be pleased with us. I'd always known that salvation was by faith alone, but I hadn't been able to reconcile kind of the do's and don'ts and the burden feeling with it being an easy yoke and understanding how that all really played together. So although I understood the gospel on a basic level as a young kid and in my teens, God definitely opened my eyes during that year. So many implications can be drawn from this. One of the big ones was, if we no longer obey because of the fear of punishment or of hell, we can now serve out of love, which was a big kind of eye-opening thing for me, is realizing really more deeply God's done everything. And so the burden's off my shoulders. That's why it's easy. And so my obedience now is out of love and out of gratitude, as opposed to out of some sort of fear. Even though I became a Christian while very young, I definitely struggled with a lot of the sins that most everyone here has. Over the last several years, God has really shown me how sin clings to us very closely, how it really taints us through our thoughts and our actions and our motives and our desires. I've come to realize that I can't live more than a few minutes without sinning, and that my flesh wants evil, and I need to somehow need someone to save me, as I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I definitely can't do it myself, and that I need someone who can justify and sanctify me. So it's that, as I was writing this, it made me reflect on just the different people God's brought into my life, and thinking back to really the period between 2008 and 2010, I had a boss that was passionate about Jesus, loved talking about him. He was the kind of guy that you could stop in the middle of a work day and spend an hour talking about something you were going through, and he was more than happy to spend that whole hour and pay you for it to talk about Jesus. But he was the first person to really connect with me. We thought very much alike. He is someone that really understood how I thought. But he was able to help me understand how Sin shapes everything we do, and basically that we do it all day long. So through our conversations, we'd often talk about how sin isn't something we can count. The concept of, you know, I can count the sins I did today on one hand, and I confess those, I'm good to go. But that is a much deeper thing. It shapes our motives and our thoughts. Every word that we say and everything we do is tainted. So the more I've come to understand and realize that, the more it's helped me have an appreciation and really an awe for the fact that Christ is able to live an entire life on this earth without impure thought or action or motive in anything that he did. So God has taught me a lot, especially since being married over the last 4 years, especially how to be a better husband, better employee, now learning how to be a father, showing Christ's attributes, learning how to try to engage in people's life for their benefit, not just mine, and also how to better deal with conflict, which I'm definitely not a confrontational person. So the verse that had come to mind when I was looking at this was is the conclusion of a passage, Psalms 144, which in the New King James Version is titled as, or the passage is entitled as, "A Song to the Lord Who Preserves and Prospers His People." So the last verse, verse 15, basically says, "Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." So this passage always reminds me really how thankful I am and how the people of God are so blessed that we can't do anything but be happy about what we have. The New King James Version is probably, I think, the only version I've seen so far that actually translates that word as happy. Most of the time it's blessed, which is not something usually in my vocabulary every day, but I think happy gets across the idea. So as I mentioned before, I was raised in a Presbyterian church. So the reason why it's taken me so long to be baptized is I was sprinkled as a kid. And it wasn't really till the last couple of years I've actually had to start questioning that baptism for myself. So I've come to believe that this is a command that believers do, not something that holds over when you don't have an idea what's going on. So I decided that I wanted to be baptized to signify my death and resurrection in Christ. Also do that in front of the church family that I have here. And I guess the extra benefit is I get to do it with my wife and on Easter. So
obviously I know you're being, you want to be kind, grateful to people that you saw as you were growing up, but was it, in terms of some of the questions and confusion that you had in light of what you heard and what you saw, was it just the rules, like in terms of legalism? Was it the attitude behind the enforcement of those, like the vibe, the tone, a combination of both of those? And what was it that turned you off? I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but just to reemphasize, what turned you off about that?
Yeah. Some of it would have been probably the legalistic rules of it, but I think a lot of it had to do with the attitude. Assuming I have a heavy focus on the execution of doing the right things, and not enough emphasis on the grace and the love and the fact that the sins have been paid for.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a dad, it is difficult to communicate the life that is in obedience as opposed to having a vibe of death while trying to get people to obey for life.
Right. Yep.
And oftentimes we who know the most about God's righteousness and about his law, I mean about his word, we who know and love the truth the most can sadly have some of the worst attitudes, contradictory attitudes about that. So that was a big, like you saw that very early on.
Yeah.
And as parents we can do that, as people in the church we can do that. So there's got to be a way to love obedience in life rather than to talk about how great obedience is while kind of being mean or pushy about it.
Yeah.
And then is there anything in particular, different subject, but anything in particular that struck your attention about it being believers who should be baptized as opposed to doing it, you know, for babies? Is there, you obviously said you've been thinking about it. Was there any any particular verse or instance that got into your mind and started you thinking that way?
I know we had some the whole, I guess, thought process started when we had some friends over for dinner, and they were definitely believer baptism and weren't opposed to definitely kind of pushing it. So I started the mindset. I worked with a person who also kind of challenged my thoughts about it and gave me a booklet about infant baptism to read. Also I've had some opportunity to talk to my parents about it and just trying to understand their viewpoint. And I think at the end of the day, it seems like in the New Testament we see believers being baptized, and to make a case for infant baptism, you have to try to draw kind of symbolism or lines back to certain Old Testament sacraments or different things that they did. And those are things that are not clear lines. You have to have a certain framework to read everything to get those assumptions. And okay. So it seems like the literal understanding of the Bible is believers are baptized.
Well, I can tell you that in terms of our benefit from hearing your testimony, hearing your believing profession, we would have missed out on that otherwise with the first one.
Yep.
So this one totally gives the whole body that encouragement. So thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. And based on your profession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Emily. I'm growing up in a Christian home, and my whole family are Christians. We try to go to church every Sunday, and I've gone to a Christian school my whole life. When I was in first grade, I thought I was a Christian because my whole family were Christians and we went to church. It wasn't until I was in fifth grade when my brother Brian went to Afghanistan. There were times that we didn't know where Brian was or when we could talk to him again. I remember my parents and siblings trusting that God would protect him through the many dangers that were in Afghanistan. That was when I realized that I myself was not trusting God and that I was trusting myself. I was then convicted of my sins, and I repented to God to save me from my sins. God has used other people to influence my life. Since becoming a Christian, I have tried to be nicer and more understanding with my sister. I try not to do things halfway anymore, and I trust God more. My favorite verse is Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I like this verse because it shows that if we follow and trust God, he will show us the right path to take. I am choosing to be baptized to show all of you that I have been born again through Jesus Christ, and I desire to serve God. My biggest influence is my brother Brian, because he had to trust God to protect him through the dangers that he faced daily over in Afghanistan. I know that I'm not perfect, because nobody is, but I know that I have been saved by God, who is perfect. I still make mistakes, but I am striving to live more like God every day and to be a good influence on others.
Also very exciting that Brian actually gets to be here before moving to another continent for a few years. So that obviously is very exciting. So when you described at the beginning of your testimony the anxiousness, what do you describe it as? Anxiousness, fearfulness about him being gone and not knowing what was happening to him?
Yeah, probably. Because, like, there's times when, like, he would tell us that he was going to be gone, but he didn't know for how long. So we didn't know what would happen.
Yeah. And when you said as you thought about that, when you then confessed your sins, were you thinking of the anxiousness and the fearfulness as sins as well as then others? Were those primarily on your mind?
Yes.
Okay. And it is actually significant that Jesus, who is in control of all things, calls us to trust him and then forgives us for not trusting him. That's actually really good. That's good that we can trust him, that he forgives us for not trusting him, that he increases our trust in him, which you said God has been doing, in the middle of things that are really uncertain. So, I mean, that's huge. in the fact that probably there are a lot more uncertain things that are still to come in your life. So for those people who are fearful, those people who are nervous about something that's happening in their life, either for a loved one or even in their own life, is there anything you would encourage them to do, encourage them to think about?
Just continue to pray.
Okay.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, in prayer, he lets us cast our cares on him, and then we're also handing over the thing we're anxious about to him to take care of, as well as talking to those who are around us. I mean, obviously talking with your parents, talking with friends who can give you encouragement and let you know that you're not all by yourself. And even now, as you make this public profession with this church body, hopefully you'll be able to get even more encouragement from them as well when there are other fears or difficulties that come up. So based on your profession of faith, the encouragement that you get in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rothenberger. When I was 12, I got saved. Before I was saved, I was a lazy, procrastinating, and selfish liar. Whenever my siblings asked me to do something outside of what I needed to do, I always said no and got defensive and angry when they asked me why I wouldn't. I didn't like it when anyone challenged me, and I got angry when they did. I usually tried to hide my anger, and sometimes I succeeded, but they continued to anger or annoy me. But if they continued to anger or annoy me, I always showed my anger really quickly and let them know what I thought of them. I lied a lot. I lied to cover up sins, or even to cover up things that weren't sins. I lied to impress my friends, which didn't usually work, but I kept on doing it. At night, I always thought about hell. I used to pray before I was saved, Jesus, please save me so I don't go to hell, just not yet. Even though I wasn't saved, and I knew I wasn't saved, I kept praying that same thing every day. One Sunday in 2010 at Grace Bible Church, before the first service started, I started thinking about where I would go if I died right then. I always used to say to myself, if I can lie to everyone and they believe it, why wouldn't I lie to God? He would believe it like everyone else. But that thought didn't come to mind this time. I knew that if I died, I would go to hell and God wouldn't believe my lies. He would keep me out of heaven and I would be in hell forever. That thought scared me so much, I started praying, asking God to forgive my sins and allow me, an unworthy sinner, to come into heaven. Immediately, I felt better. I always used to think I wanted to get saved, but I never believed it until then. After that service, I went to my small group and told them that I got saved that morning. My leaders, Mr. Bowers and Mr. Hall, were excited and started asking me questions like, were you with anyone when this happened? And told me things like, if you did get saved, that is the best choice you have ever made in your life and you won't regret it. When I got home after church, I told my family I got saved and they were happy also, though they didn't ask me many questions. The first couple of years I was saved, I didn't see any growth. I acted the same, I wanted to be angry at people who challenged me, and I continued provoking my family into fights and arguments. The first major change I saw was me wanting to go to church and spend time with my small group and at 128. But my life has been different once I started coming to TEC in many ways. I have been less lazy, but I still have days that I need to work on. I have been able to talk to my family more peacefully and get angry less. I have had a desire to learn more about Christ in the Bible, and I have been praying more and actually meaning what I pray. The school, and specifically the teachers, have been a great life-changing influence on me, as I had to stop being lazy to get the homework done on time. A couple of verses that have encouraged me are Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse has encouraged me because it I always used to think that I would be able to out-sin God's forgiveness, yes. And this verse tells me otherwise. The reasons I'm choosing to be baptized are because it is commanded that all believers must be baptized, and because I wish to publicly announce that I'm a Christian.
When you started there at the beginning with that list of sins, and there was a little bit of chuckle. This is not laughing that you're a sinner, but I think we generally chuckle because very rarely do you actually hear somebody just state it so plainly. And yet, the reason we don't state it so plainly is because we think we can make other people not know it. Which, like you said, is what you spent a lot of time trying to do, was lying about it to family, to friends, so that they would think something. So even that, you know, initial outburst of, these are my sins, I know what they were, these are the things that I needed to repent from, is really different. Like that in and of itself, I'm trying to be encouraging, but like that is actually a really significant sign of humility. Why would you say that? Why would you put yourself in dependence on Christ when you could try to keep hiding? You also said, though, ultimately remembered you wouldn't be able to lie to God and convince Him of that. So that's great. It has been fun. It's been good to watch your leadership and interaction at the school and have you in a class. So when it comes to baptism, because it was a couple years ago that you profess faith in Christ, right? And waiting to now to get baptized. So you wouldn't say that baptism saves you. You said you want to get baptized because it's required for obedience. You want to tell everyone your faith in Christ. What does baptism actually demonstrate or show?
It demonstrates you dying with Christ and then rising up with Him as a new creation.
Yeah, hopefully it demonstrates you rising back up as well as the dying. But again, I think even in the clarity of your testimony, that's the kind of thing somebody who is alive says. Not somebody who's dead, not somebody who's blind, but somebody who sees. So thank you for that testimony. And based on your profession of allegiance to Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
For everyone that doesn't know, I'm David, and good evening. I can't tell everyone how excited I am to be baptized and show everyone that I am not afraid of my faith and love for God. My life before coming to Christ was a complete and total wreck. I had no motivation to better myself or fix the severe problems I have with anger. Like I would find something in someone just to take how I was feeling at that time out on them. I was the kind of person that would fly off the handle if I did not even like the way someone's tone of voice was or even the way someone would look at me wrong. I truly realized that I needed help from guidance from a power higher than any man had to offer. I was tired of the responses I would receive from others in return for the way I interacted or reacted with them on a daily basis. I wanted to learn how to show the same respect to others for the way that they show respect to me, not get an attitude just for no reason. Jesus Christ is the creator and ruler of all. He created heaven and earth and all that it has to offer. He can lay down and take it at the command of His hand. And Jesus so loved the world and us as sinners that He laid down His life so that we may have salvation from our sins. Since turning my life over to become a stronger Christian man, I have tried to completely change the way I speak with others. I actually stop and try to think to myself about what I am about to say and how it may affect the response I receive in return from others. I have become a stronger man to the woman that I want to be with the rest of my life, as well as our two children, Casey and Shane, by just being patient and realizing that God has a plan for everything in my life, and I just need to turn my problems over to Him and let him work in my heart and just hear the words of knowledge and wisdom that he has to offer me on a day-to-day basis. I never imagined myself being excited to wake up early Sunday morning and come to church as much as I do today. I look forward to coming every Sunday to meet with the amazing people that have been placed in my life by the grace of God. These amazing people are always there when I just need someone to talk to and get a few words from the wise. I'm able to have conversations with the men and women I have been truly blessed with in my new life under our Heavenly Father. It has been an amazing journey so far, and I look forward to the many years to come and raising the next generation of Christians to be like our Father. Two of the verses that I got are, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I," which is Psalm 61:2. Feel the scripture is very helpful anytime that I feel like I am having a hard time or I just that I need to fly off the handle with someone that really does not deserve it what I was about to say. I stop and just realize that any of my problems I have at the time just need to be turned over to the Father, and He'll help guide me in a way of a strong, devoted Christian man. The second verse I have is that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts and deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This verse makes me remember my old self and how far I've come, or how I've tried to come so far already, and that I never really want to turn back to the way that I was.
So coming to Christianity later, rather than having the when you were three, mm-hmm. you know, with a Christian home, that kind of experience, I mean, you described a lot of the changes that you have already seen. And I mean, even not really hanging out with you a lot, your difference is obvious and continues to be that way week by week. So things have not gone well for you necessarily, even over the last few weeks or months. Even as your commitment to Christ has increased, as your love for worship and being with His people has grown, you've lost employment at times. You've had other hard things come about. And I still remember one of the Sunday mornings, you're like, "Well, I couldn't help but not come." Like, you wanted to be here. You said same thing about like men-to-men meetings as well. So I think you said that surprises you, mm-hmm. even to see that change in your own life, in your own heart. For anybody who is here that maybe has grown up and had a life more like yours, who is in the middle of sin, they're not sure how to get out of anger, they're not sure how to deal with, or inability to treat one another in a respectful way, what would you tell them?
Just believe and turn everything that you may have in your heart and in your mind over to God and Jesus Christ, and He's always there to listen every time.
Okay. Now, you're being baptized. Is baptism the thing that saves you?
No.
So what does baptism do? What's the significance of that for this moment?
Just that I believe in God and that I'm doing as I'm commanded, is believe and be baptized.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obedience is what Christians do for sake of their life. And it's clear that there is new life in you. And to hear you say that, give that profession, we're encouraged by that. And based on that profession, I'm excited to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Is Kayla, and I want to be baptized because I had a talk with my uncle, and being baptized means I am obeying God's command. I am showing people that I like Him and that it is a picture. I want to be baptized because it'll make me it'll make my vision easier to God, and it will make it so that way people know that I love Him. That is the reason that I want to be baptized.
And Kayla, so only Christians get baptized, right? Can you tell us what a Christian believes?
A Christian believes in God because they know that He is real.
Okay, yeah. And then in particular, there was God's Son named Jesus. And what did He do?
He died on the cross for our sins.
Okay, which is really important because how many people sin?
Everybody sins.
Everybody sins, right. And because everybody sins, what does everybody deserve?
Everybody deserves to die.
Everybody deserves to die. That's right. So Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that He could take our place. So we could have His life. He took our death and He can give us His life. Good. And He said baptism is a picture. Can you tell us what baptism is a picture of?
It's a picture of God. It's a picture of me dying with God and then coming back to life, rising
again. Great. Especially on Easter, right? So Friday, we remember that He died. And on this day, we remember that He rose again to new life, and you as well. So your profession of faith, your desire to obey Him and tell everybody else that you love Christ and you want to follow Him based on that profession. I'm excited to baptize you as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Ashley Ashford, and actually a lot of people here already know me. I first started going to church when I was very young with my mother, and we attended Grace for a long time. I was always taught about God, about how Jesus died for my sins, about the person that I should be and follow God with my heart and soul, and that I would also have the sentence of death if I chose not to, and I chose not to. I went down a very destructive path. It took up until 2011, and knowing everything my entire life, having so many people invest so much time talking to me and trying to teach me, and it was definitely falling on deaf ears. And 2011, in May, I was at my breaking point. I'd always thought that I could do everything my way and that I would reach the end just fine. And that path led me to nothing. I was falling apart. My life was falling apart. My children were suffering because of my lack of belief, of faith, and willingness to listen to people that wanted to help me. I came to the point where my marriage was going to end. My children were going to go through a very hard time because of it. And I thought my way was the right way. I ended up talking with my Aunt Gail Martin, for hours in the car, just crying my heart out and trying to find every excuse why everything that was going on wasn't my fault, but it was. Her big thing that she told me over and over actually that night was, you need to decide what side of the fence you're going to fall on, because you know what's right. But you can't just sit on the fence for the rest of your life and not choose. And that night, that just kept playing through my head. I didn't sleep well at all. And the next day I ended up calling my mother, and I was in tears. I felt just absolutely torn from the inside out. And my mother told me that her and my sister would come over to talk with me, and I said, no, I don't need to just talk. I need help. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, I need help. She goes, do you need us to come pray with you? And I said, yes. My sister and my mother came over very quickly. And right then and there, I got on my knees, prayed with both of them, and asked the Lord to come into my heart. My husband was not a believer at the time at all, and I was just beginning as well. So it was through the grace of God that we've even gotten to the point that we have in our lives. My husband now is saved as well. My children, my daughter was just baptized now too. And it's just amazing to see how just making one simple choice, even if you knew it all along and didn't do it, but just making that one choice to give your heart and your life over to God can make unbelievable changes in your heart, in the person that you are, in your family, your home, your life, everything. And I want to become baptized today to be in front of all of the members of the church and say, I want you all to know that I am saved and I want to live, spend the rest of my life serving the Lord.
So. The thing is, I wish I could ask you the kinds of questions that would pull out every part of the testimony that you could say verbally, that there's no doubt the people who actually have known you for, in some cases, your whole life, who mm-hmm. are here. Mm-hmm. There's no way you could ever say what change has actually happened in the last year or so, mm-hmm. a little more than a year. So the hours of your conversations with people, their conversations with you, I can't imagine the Martins. Just take them as an example. I can't imagine your mom and dad. Mm. Can't imagine
my sister.
Yeah, Bethany undoubtedly can only see the miracle that your life is, that has taken place in your family's life, mm-hmm. like you said. So the thing is, I mean, like I said, there's no amount of questions that can properly give opportunity to explain that platform that God has provided in your lives. Because it's not just your family. Now you're already reaching out to other families.
Yes.
Other people.
Yes.
And offering them the comfort and encouragement that you needed for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, in Jesus Christ. So even as myself, not somebody who has known you and spent the time in the telephone calls and the late night meetings and things like that, I know enough to praise God for His work in your life. And based on your profession of faith, I'm excited to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, they're not kidding. It still is a little cold, actually. For those of you that don't know me, I am Trevor Ashford, Ashley's husband. I'm not going to give you the life story. It's a long one. But my life before Christ was a disaster. I had a severe anger problem. I had no patience, no self-control. I treated my family with no respect. I was headed down the wrong road, as the saying would go. The Lord opened up my heart, eyes, and souls on a Sunday morning while at church. I was singing Glorious Day, and it all came to me. I saw how my life was, where it was headed, how I made everyone around me feel, and all the sins I had been doing on a daily basis. I had goosebumps all over. I felt horrible, yet at the same time so relieved. I knew what I needed to do. You can say I saw the light. From that day on, I've become a different person. A couple of days later, in fact, in Jim Martin's backyard even, I made my profession of faith, which at that time was like 1,000 pounds lifted off my shoulder all at once. I no longer felt tied down by life's problems. Since then, I have been going, attending to church, going to men's groups, praying, reading the Bible, and changing my life in ways I never knew possible. With the help of the Lord, I have gained control over myself and anger problem. I treat my family with the utmost respect, and now I get the respect back just as equal. My marriage is no longer on the rocks. My wife and I are closer than we have ever been. Salvation has saved my life from a road with a dead end to a road that goes to the heaven in all its glory. I would like to be baptized to show the Lord that I am a true believer by following His command. It will cleanse and bury my old sinful ways and self and let the new self rise. There are a couple verses that have stuck with me. One is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." To me, that's saying that it is all in God's hands. We are leaving His plans for us. God knows what we are doing, going to do before we do it. If we follow His plans and believe in Him, His plans, believe in Him and His plans, we will have a hopeful future. Another one is Psalms 37:4, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." To me, that means give yourself to the Lord in everything you do, and in return, the Lord will give you the true things your heart desires: love, happiness, content, and peace.
Also kind of amazing to think about being right here, right now.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. Which, you know, is both miracle, it's miraculous, unbelievable, and it is exactly what Jesus does. I mean, that is the thing, is I said this morning, he likes his dead people really dead. He saves sinners who are really sinful. And not everybody's sin is as external or obvious. Some people come to recognize it earlier. Some people come to recognize it later when it has grown more visibly ugly. But it is a miracle in your life, one that we get to share in terms of praising him for the salvation he's accomplished in your life. The obvious changes, like I was telling Ashley, the obvious changes to your family. I mean, haven't you started a Bible study?
Yes, we did.
Right, so, because that's what you should do. You get saved and you work on your marriage and you start a Bible study for other people. Because that's what happens when life comes in. And that has been very encouraging for everyone to see. And that has been great to hear your testimony, and even for this boldness and profession of faith right now in baptism. So baptism doesn't save you, right?
No.
So what is it showing here?
That you're dying with Jesus and rising again with him. New person, that you're splitting yourself.
Yeah, and can you lose that? I mean, like, is that ever going to go away?
No.
Nope, that's eternal. And that's good.
Very good.
Trevor, based on your profession of faith, baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is really exciting, and we have every reason to consider those of you here who have been baptized. We have every reason to look back on our own baptisms and be reminded of the encouragement that we have died with Christ and been raised with him. A few weeks ago, I was talking about that in a message, trying to get people to think about whether they needed to be baptized, and talked about from Romans chapter 6, our baptism in Christ, in his death and resurrection, is something that we need for sake of fighting our sin. It is a weapon that God gives us. And so it not only is a public profession of faith before other people, and not only joins those who were baptized tonight in an official and public way to the body, but it is forever a way to fight sin. We are different. And whether our testimonies are dramatic, what was Amanda's word? Whether we have a life that seemed destructive, or whether we didn't, if we have died with Christ, then we have new life in him, and that changes everything. So we can be grateful, praise the Lord, along with those who are baptized tonight, and again be encouraged by our own resurrection on this resurrection day. I'm going to pray in just a moment, then we're going to sing one more song, I think, and then you are invited, if you want, to come downstairs afterwards. They're remodeling, so there's extension cords and things probably where they're not all supposed to be eventually. But nevertheless, some people have brought some goodies to share. If you're able to stay, you're totally invited to do that. Talk with some of the people who are baptized. Give them any encouragement that maybe you received from their testimonies. And we'll do that after we sing this song. Go ahead and stand. We'll invite those who are going to lead us in that song forward. And then let me pray for those who are baptized. Father, thank you for your work in the lives of these 13 young men, young women, and some a little bit older, women and men as well. We thank you for the new life that you have brought about in each one of them. Their willingness to show and tell their faith before this group of people, undoubtedly you have to be pleased. You are glad to hear those professions of what you have done. You're glad to hear your son's name lifted up as the only Savior, the only offer of forgiveness for our sins. He really is our only hope. Even on a day like today, when we remember explicitly that he defeated death, that's who he is. He is resurrection and life. We are glad for him as you are glad with us in him. Give us encouragement in the fight against sin, in our growing together as a body, as a unity. And again, this is only possible because of the grace of your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.